because they've got the wackiness.
Well, no, go ahead. Go ahead. If what you were going to say was funny enough, maybe I'll put it in the beginning of the episode before we start.
No, it was really funny. It's just those CDI Zelda games, one, they're weird.
Yeah.
You know, one, that they're weird because they're for another non-Nintendo system, but also they're just weird.
Yeah.
And so I could see wanting those for that kind of purposes, whereas a lot of the prices today is just weird, not people playing games, but just using video games as a collectible market to buy and sell money, with video games as the intermediary.
That's why we legally emulate everything around here. Anyways, welcome back to I Love This Terrible Game, a video game show where we talk about video games. We had a bit of a casual episode last time with just me and Chris speaking about Elden Ring and such. This week we have a panel back. So we're going to do our normal thing, and I am of course your host Michael Colby, and with me as usual is CJ.
What? I wasn't paying attention. What?
You're here.
Yes, I am.
Yes, you're here. Okay. And Brent.
I'm eating something, so
yeah,
you know.
Well, that's why I did you second.
Thumbs up.
Okay, you're here as well. So, if I can remember how we normally do this thing, I think the first thing we do is talk about the video games that we have been playing since the last time we spoke. And I have a couple, but I'm going to let these other folks go first because I'm a nice person. Brand, what have you been playing?
I was playing since the last time I've been on, which is the Slay the Spire Downfall mod.
Okay. Still playing Slay the Spire.
The mod specifically. So yeah. Just the mod alone, it says I have over 100 hours. So
good gravy.
Yes.
That is a lot of hours in Slay the Spire.
And that's just the mod. let me see how much I have in the actual game. SL. All right, hold on. Let me actually do a search. All right, in the original game, I have 235 hours.
Wow.
And most of those were before the game was finished.
Okay, so what does this mod do?
It lets you basically play as the bosses, and you play kind of backwards. So instead of starting at the bottom, you start at the top, and then you fight the hero characters as the bosses of each section.
Oh, okay. That's fun.
So all new mechanics, whole bunch of new interactions with the different question mark points. There's a whole bunch of that. New cards, new relics, stuff like that. So
okay.
Yeah, it's like a whole big expansion to the game.
I am always... I'm torn on mods for PC games because for the most part, they just ruin them by making enemies into Macho Man or Thomas the Tank Engine or all sorts of real stupid shit.
Now, this one's more like a full expansion.
Yeah.
But then
people do stuff like that and make whole new games for stuff that people like, and that's really cool, but we need to stop these people who keep putting Thomas the Tank Engine in everything.
I think really next it'll be Garfield. I feel Garfield, Thomas the Tank has had his meme days, and now it's Garfield meme days.
Okay.
We gotta circle back around to Diglett.
I mean, Doug Trio.
As what? As a mod?
As a meme.
Oh.
And a mod.
I don't remember Diglett ever being a meme.
Diglett's always a meme. You just don't do Pokemon.
Okay. And I remember the first meme. It was Mr. T ate my balls.
Balls.
Back in my day, that was comedy.
Early internet. That's all we had is websites with, like, you know, image macros that were like, Mr. T ate my balls.
Mr. T ate my balls. That, and then people think that memes today are weird, and it's like, shut up. Shut up, Gen Xer. You had Mr. T ate my balls just like balls, I did. We thought that was funny. Let the kids enjoy their, I don't know, what's funny right now? What's the good meme right now?
I don't know. I just follow cats and anime shit.
I'm trying
to. It's on the anime, video game, or cat meme. I don't know.
Mm. I like the guy pointing at his head.
That's a good one. The guy who's like,
yeah. But anyway, this is not a meme show. It's a video game show. So, is that all you've been playing? Otherwise, just painting and knitting.
Yes, I mean, I've
and...
obviously played a lot. But yeah.
Obviously.
Painting, sewing.
Okay. Any more Vampire Survivors? Are you?
I played a little bit, but I'm not caught up.
Not caught up with all the new stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not thrilled with the new character. The new stage is very hard. Holy cow.
Well, so I still conquered it.
Oh, yeah. No, I did too, but it took me a lot more tries than I'm used to on that game. Because I was trying to level up the dog character at the same time as I was trying to beat that stage, and it wasn't working for me. Yeah, so I've been playing a little bit of Vampire Survivors to get caught up with that stuff. I really like that game. I think I continue to think that that is the best $3 you can spend on a video game.
Would agree on that statement.
There is not anything that I've ever paid that little for that I've played for as long as I did.
I would pay six. I'd probably pay 10.
Yeah. I think I would pay up to 10, but the fact that it's three, I don't know what it's going to be at launch. I assume still one or three. But I think everybody should play that game. It's
definitely worth your $3.
Yeah, it's great. But yeah, the new stage, very hard. So if you were getting tired of sort of blasting through everything with no effort, this is doing something about that. We just got a character that shoots out cats. now we have a character who is a dog. So we got all sorts of animals. So that's always fun. You can get the cat weapon with the dog. So I was a dog shooting out cats, and that was pretty fun.
Those cats do hella damage, though.
Yeah, once they get leveled up, they're so bad in the beginning.
Like, they were more broken than Labora. I was impressed.
Yeah, the game is amazing. 88 achievements as of right now, and they just keep adding stuff. It's if you have a Steam account, spend those $3 and you'll thank us.
I actually gifted it was 10% off, and I gifted it to like five people.
Nice. Thanks. Yeah, give those people money. Give the people making that money. I think it's one or two people that are making that game, and that's also I love a small studio.
I think it's mainly one dude, and he's contracting people out to do like the sprite work.
Okay, yeah. Great. There not really a lot we can talk about with the game, but except for the fact that it's fun and it just keeps getting better. CJ, what you got?
So I haven't played a ton lately, but I did decide to go into my PS2's backlog and try out Mr. Mosquito.
Okay. Very
a game
fun.
Which I, yeah, it's funny because I had a sticker on it. And apparently I bought it like over a decade ago for $10. And now it's like worth $100.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'm an exterminator, so I really wanted to play Mr. Mosquito. Even before that, I just liked bugs. So I find the incredibly pissed off family who keeps getting bitten by this mosquito pretty charming. The controls, on the other hand, less so. It's kind of frustrating to play, even though it is extremely funny and charming. I feel like if they remade that thing with better controls, it would be a pretty fast indie hit. So I kind of have mixed feelings about it. Definitely the sort of game that would be kind of more fun to see played well. Part of it's a bit puzzle game, trying to figure out when I can bite the people and suck their blood. Also, the game was not very good at explaining certain mechanics, and I had to search shit up online. But apparently, if you just suck their blood too long, they get pissed at you and just slap you. And yeah. Death.
The best kind of game. The one that doesn't explain what you need to do. And you have to...
The goal's pretty obvious. It explains that part. It just doesn't explain some of the very useful nuances.
Mm-hmm. The best kind of game.
Yeah, things like, I couldn't tell when they were going to slap me, and I looked up online and I learned, oh, that's how you tell. Seriously? So I was doing all this stuff and I didn't have to? But then sometimes when the humans notice you, they will start to fight you. And this one dude, the old dude, kept drop kicking me and killed me from that. I was like, I'm a mosquito. How are you hitting me with a drop kick like this? The fourth stage, you're actually going after the teenage daughter while she's in the bathtub.
Mm-hmm.
Just in case you can tell that this was a very Japanese game.
It is a very Japanese
game. And she'll turn the shower sprinkler thing on you to try to kill you. And oddly enough, you're supposed to like hit them and hit a pressure point to make them relax. It's like, I think if a mosquito whammed into my forehead, I don't think that would relax me. But yeah, it's charming. It's pretty funny. It's charming and funny, but it's not really fun to play, if that makes sense.
No, that makes perfect sense. Most things from that PS2 era are going to be more difficult to control than what we're used to now, but...
part of it was that the right analog stick doesn't control the damn camera.
That was the period of time where they were still trying to figure out that 3D camera crap.
Yeah, that was a pretty early PS2 game.
Yeah, but it just makes you fly around in like a weird pattern. I guess it's supposed to help you dodge, but it really just screwed me over most of the time.
Yeah. Well, that's like the God of War thing. Those first, four God of Wars? The right stick is to dodge, and it just...
Yeah, but usually the camera was pulled back far enough in those games that it wasn't as big a deal. Here, the camera's like right up your ass.
Well, you gotta... It does... It also looks pretty bad. It's a pretty bad-looking game. Pretty sparse.
I mean, I could kind of see Mr. Mosquito being good for fans of Goose Game, where you just want to mess around with a bunch of people as an animal. It kind of has a bit of that charm to it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, totally.
I encountered some pretty funny non-standard death game overs.
Like what?
There's when you're in the kitchen, you can go into a microwave and get some collectibles, but if you're not fast enough, she will close the microwave on you and just kill you in the microwave.
Awesome.
Nice.
Yeah, I was going to say, I did have that same problem with Untitled Goose Game. That's one of those games that could be a topic. Games that people hyped up so much that they couldn't have possibly lived up to the hype.
Fair enough.
But that's how Goose Game was for me. It was like, people were like, oh my god, this is so fun. It was like so memed. And then like I finally played it and I'm like, it's fine. But I think it just got too hyped up for me.
I will say I think my 9-year-old niece enjoyed Goose Game more than I did, but I was okay with it.
It's fine. It just wasn't it wasn't all that. But Mr. Mosquito is very cool, and I wish it wasn't $100 because I used to have that and then I got rid of it just like everything else because I said, who's going to ever want a copy of Mr. Mosquito? GameStop can have my game, and I'll take their $3 so I can buy whatever was out on Xbox 360 at the time.
Oh man, actually, I got Blood Bowl Tell complete in box for like $10 or $15 from GameStop, but now the game's like $400.
Yeah, I stopped trading my games into GameStop for that reason, because it started going up. But now I also have a shitload of worthless games sitting on my shelf. Surely somebody's gonna want this someday. Probably not. Have you been playing anything else?
No,
Mr. Mosquito and Vampire Survivor.
Yeah,
I did play. I played all the way through an entire game in two sittings. New game on, I don't know, I think it's brand new. It may have launched on Game Pass, but it's called Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion.
Yes, I do want to play that.
It fucking rules. Okay. It takes all of the Zelda stuff, like, that the original top-down, you know, Zelda games were, and it boils it down to about 3 hours worth of gameplay. It uses the silent protagonist sort of as a joke. The townspeople that you talk to all have funny dialogue. It's very funny. It's a fun game. It's funny.
It's half off right now on the Nintendo eShop.
Yeah, it gets deep towards the end. It has a good story about how these fruits and vegetables become sentient. What happens to the humans? It's a whole thing. It's a really incredible game. The music is fantastic. I don't want to get too much into it, but it has that top-down Zelda. It's like a 16-bit look. You get a sword and you sort of switch. You do puzzles. You do all of the Zelda stuff. You fight enemies. You do puzzles. You know, there's dungeons, and you fight a boss at the end. But instead of a dungeon being 15 rooms where you do the different variations on the same puzzle 15 times, the dungeons are 7 rooms, and you do the variation of the puzzle 4 or 5 times, so it doesn't wear out its welcome. The bosses are surprisingly, like, they get more difficult as you progress in a way that I wasn't expecting, because the first 3 bosses were like pushovers. I'm like, oh, whatever. And then you get to a hard boss, and I'm like, oh, I'm just going to do that. And I died like 5 times just because I was like, I wasn't ready for it. So if you play it, just be aware that it does ramp up in difficulty. It never gets hard, but it does ramp up from where it ramps up further than you think it's going to. But it's very charming. It controls nice. There's lots of little side quests that you can do if you want. It has all of the trappings of a Zelda game, but it boils it down. It never outstays its welcome with anything. And it's just funny. And it's unexpected at the end what happens. Just know, if you're going to play it right now, the achievements are bugged. Depending on how long you play it, it stops saving, and your achievements don't pop. So I was doing stuff, and then, like, the achievements didn't pop, and then when I came back to it, I still had the items in my inventory, even after I had given them away, you know, done what I needed to do with them during their missions. And then when I came back to it, they were still there. And I'm like, well, what the hell? And then I would go and give them to them, like whoever needed the item. And then an achievement would pop. And I'm like, oh, so there's something with the saving that's off right now. So maybe wait until it's patched if you care about achievements. But if you don't, just play it. It's really fun. And if you do care about achievements, you can play through it again because it's very short. But yeah, Turnip Boy commits tax evasion.
Does he actually commit tax evasion?
It's the first thing you do.
All right.
The first thing you do is commit tax evasion.
Nice.
Well, it was half off on the Nintendo eShop right now for the Switch, so I went ahead and got it.
Yeah. I don't think you'll be disappointed. It's fun and it's nice and short and it's very charming. So yeah, enjoy that. And then we'll talk about it next time.
After giving his shit and dragging my feet with playing Vampire Survivors.
Yeah,
I had seen a trailer for Turnip Boy. I actually have it installed. I just haven't gotten around to it, but you said it's only 3 hours, so.
Yeah, it's only a couple of, it's way shorter than I was expecting, and I'm like, oh, cool. And then I was sort of messing around with Bug Snacks at the same time, which is pretty fun and also charming. But then once I found out that Turnip Boy was only a couple hours, I'm like, all right, I'm going to blow through this before I get any further into Bug Snacks. So I don't have a ton to say about Bug Snacks, even though I played about an hour, maybe an hour and a half of it this week. And it seems good. I just haven't had time to do much. Yeah, but that's all I've been playing. I mean, besides Elden Ring and Vampire Survivors and yeah. And I've been playing Vampire Survivors while I'm doing podcasts. Like, I'll be on a podcast, like, talking and also playing Vampire Survivors.
Yeah, I was doing that, too.
I mean, it is kind of the perfect game for that.
It really is, because if you get a good loadout, you don't have to move. Unless you're in that clock tower.
Yes.
Because the clock tower does punish you for not moving. Which I didn't know about the first couple times that I was in there. And I was like, oh, I'm just going to sit there. How did I die? And then, you know, when you watch it, then you're like, oh, it was those like weird lightning strikes or whatever hits you. So, yeah, Vampire Survivors is great. God.
Yes. Podcast, get Vampire Survivors.
I wish there was more to talk about with Vampire Survivors because I don't think you can express how good and fun it is, because if you tell somebody about it, it sounds like it's going to suck, but it's so fun. Yeah. So that's all I've been playing. Do we have any other, any things that we want to talk about before we get to our topic?
No.
Nope.
Okay. All right. Well, then we will be back with our topic, which is something that I don't remember. So we'll all learn what our topic is when we get back, which will be in 45 seconds. All right, bye. Now recording. You know what that means. We're back with our topic. Sorry about my brain today. It has been quite a week between work and editing and recording podcasts. It's Wednesday now and my brain is already frizzle fried. So that's my excuse. But anyway, we are talking. What does that mean? Hang on one second. Why did you send this image to the Discord? This is horrible.
I mean, we're talking about Dicklets and Doug Trio.
This is the image I'm going to use. I'm going to start putting clips of our show onto Instagram.
Okay. Okay.
And I am going to put it over top of this image.
Okay. I'm fine with that.
Because, holy cow, I was not expecting that.
What happens when you only draw part of a character?
I mean, that's like the Diglett Doug Trio meme, is that they're secretly beefy men underneath.
They're secretly beefy boys.
Yes.
I mean, those are some beefy ass boys.
Those are beefy boys, yes.
Just imagine, okay, someone took all the time to model that and
yeah,
post it.
All right. Well, everybody's going to be able to see this image. Jack Billings presents on Instagram. I'll put up a little clip of the show with this image underneath it, and I'm really looking forward to it.
It's everything you need to know about our show.
Woof. Okay. So, I think we've been joined by a special guest.
Michael?
Oh, boy.
Michael Colby. I'm lost. I don't know what podcast I'm on anymore.
I forget your name, old lady.
I forget it too. Don't worry. I have the old.
You have the old.
I have the old.
Okay.
Michael, what's the topic of the podcast?
The topic of the podcast is games that were praised when they were released, but they don't hold up anymore.
Oh, I have one for that, Michael.
Oh, good. I hope, you know what? Can you leave this call and go get Evelyn, because she is much more pleasant to talk to.
I know. I was going to talk about chess.
Get out of here. Go. Get out. Stop it. Hey, guys. I'm sorry. Hi. My grandma keeps coming onto the show. I don't really know what the deal is with
your
that.
I mean, your Grammy is funny for a little bit, but yeah. Small doses yeah, of grandmas.
I'm only here for a cameo because where I am currently, it's daytime and I have a life. So,
oh, gross.
I just like to come on and say my topic.
Huh.
Sorry, it's games that were not very good when they came out. Now they're good.
No, the opposite.
Opposite. Games opposite. That everybody loved when they came out and aren't very good if you try to play them now.
Oh. So games that we okay.
Yeah.
The game of choice is definitely every Mega Man game. I don't give a shit.
Oh,
I don't give a shit. Fuck Mega Man. Or Rockman, where I am.
I love the brazen attitude towards everyone listening to this show, because I also have a very similar sort of thing. but I also agree that Mega Man, fuck those games.
It's fucking boring. The only thing good about them is the soundtrack, and the soundtrack is pretty good, but I don't give a shit.
Yeah, the soundtracks are pretty good. Like, they control well for being NES games, but they're not fun. Why do you look so angry about Mega Man? You look so angry.
The remasters came out, Michael, and I bought them. I paid money for Mega Man.
Oh.
I paid money.
Money for Mega Man again?
Paid money for Mega Man's 1 through 8.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 9. I don't know. And there's a delay in the controller. There's like a second delay every time I'm trying to jump and I'm playing this hard fucking game.
Oh my god.
They figured this out on the NES. They figured it out on the NES and they can't figure out on next generation PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5 motherfucking hardware.
I love this energy. This is what we needed today.
I'm so upset.
We needed this energy. Okay.
I'm sorry to come in here and bomb your podcast with my problems, but
no, I wasn't kidding. This is exactly what we needed. We needed this energy today because I am burnt out and it's friggin' Wednesday. Where? What day is it where you are? Is it
motherfucking Thursday, Michael? And it's a holiday.
Yeah.
What holiday?
It's Golden Week.
Ah.
Oh.
Golden Week. Everybody's out and about having a good time. I'm here on a podcast for you. This is what I do on Golden Week.
And you're pacing around and showing us your new apartment. It's,
oh yeah, I'm sorry. When I'm on my phone, see, I have to go back and forth.
Oh, see, I thought you were like continuously walking through a space, and I was like, "What gigantic building are you in Japan?"
It's a very nice apartment. In where are you?
Kyoto, Japan.
Okay.
Kyoto.
No big deal or anything.
It's not a big deal.
So,
all
the beautiful Sakura Blossom viewing.
History. Yeah. No, and we're all just stuck here in this stupid old United States, and none of us are jealous of you at all.
You guys mocked me for being in Alabama. That's the only reason I came. That's the reason.
You are now in a superior place in Alabama.
Yeah.
They don't call it Sweet Home Alabama for nothing, you guys. Home is sweet because everybody's fucking.
Yeah, because there's nothing better to do.
Anyway,
sorry for anyone listening from Alabama. We obviously love you, just not your state.
No, I don't love you either. It's just comes from a former Alabama person. Listen, okay. I don't.
All right. Well, so I guess I
get out of here, but I don't remember the sign off of the show, but I hope you guys have a great rest of your podcast and
it's breakfast food.
Evelyn,
I'm coming, Grandma. Sorry.
Wow. I don't know what to do with what just happened.
It's some energy.
That was some energy. So thank you, Evelyn. From Kyoto, Japan, talking shit on Mega Man. I hope none of her neighbors heard that. Because
she said Mega Man. They know it as Rockman over there.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm sure they also know that he's called Mega Man here. Just like they know that Eggman is Dr. Robotnik.
One I can't really disagree with, so.
Yeah, I tried to get into the Mega Man games. I couldn't.
I mean, even back in the day, I just found them extraordinarily frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely very frustrating. And I think what sealed it for me wasn't even like I could get through the levels and beat the bosses. But once you got to Dr. Wily's castle at the end, and then you had to fight all of the bosses sort of in a row, that was where it got to the point where it's like, all right, this is ridiculous. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. But yes, they are well regarded. They were well received when they came out, and people still love those games. So totally went with the spirit of today's topic. So great job, Evelyn, bringing in some energy and also a hot take and also a good choice. So who thinks that they can follow that one up?
That I mean, I don't know if I could possibly have a hotter take than that. So
I might.
Okay.
The older generations of Pokemon games are incredibly hard to go back to.
They actually talked about that on Trash Taste podcast.
They're buggy, they're glitchy, but really it's the physical special split, the lack of good move pulls. The move pulls are terrible. The Pokemon themselves, even the ones that are better in later generations, they have crap move pulls. There's a lot of crappy moves. Nobody's going to use Bide. It's a little tedious to go back to it these days, honestly. Pretty much anything before Gen 4, before like the physical special split happened, is a little hard to go back to, just because that's now my brain has the physical special split, and I'm not going to look at, like, why would Thunderfang ever be a special move? It's clearly a bite. Obviously, that should be a physical move. So from a logistical standpoint, it's hard to go back to Gen 3 that way, but Gen 1 and 2, like, I love Pokemon, I don't think I could ever. I tried playing those on my 3DS and I had so much trouble. I was like, God, this is actually kind of annoying.
Mm. Anything before you, and this is going to be a hot take for Pokemon fans, but anything before you automatically got your XP split between your whole crew is not something I want to play anymore. Now that exists, I don't want to go back to a time when that didn't exist.
Well, basically, the only problem is that people want to turn it off because it helps when making a competitive Pokemon team.
Mm-hmm. Competitive against other humans?
Yes.
Yeah, I would never do that, so I'll stick with
Yeah, it's extremely complex and annoying if you've never done it, but it has to do with the EV training, the IV training. You don't have... Sorry, you don't train IVs, but it has to do with the EV training and how having them all in your party can massively mess everything up.
Hmm. Okay.
After you spent all that time to get the right IVs on it.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't mind them having you be able to turn it off, but to not be able to have it at all, because I like to have I have a box.
It's like one of the best changes in JRPGs just to have everyone level up at the same
time. Sure. Yep.
And also some people want it turned off for like an old school challenge.
Yeah. So, and that's fine. But I am not playing a Pokemon game for a challenge. I just want to look at fun, cute Pokemon and fight trainers. Like,
yep, that's fair.
But yeah, like I have a box in Sword that's all level 100s. And that's what I like. I like to be able to just make my Pokemon super overpowered so that I can just steamroll everything.
Yeah, I mean,
and that's how I like to play.
Well, the nice thing is when doing competitive, you don't have to worry about levels because that just sets everything to the same level. That could have been another problem with the original Gen 1 is that was not what happened. So you and your friend had to pinky swear to have exact same level team. Or screw you for bringing a level 100 to a 50s fight.
That would be me. No, I worked hard to get these level 100s. If you think I'm not using them, you're nuts. But I also would never play against another human person. That seems terrible to me.
Oh, yeah, I'm not even going to get into that, but... Oh, man. Jeez. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. That also tracks. I can see that being a thing. It's weird because you don't really notice like a series like Pokemon that has so many games. You don't notice the differences sort of as they build up slowly. But if you go back and see how drastic of a change it is,
there was no abilities.
Whoa.
There was no hold items, there was no egg, so you couldn't even do egg moves.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all very weird and there's lots of series that do it. But that's probably, I mean, I can't imagine a series with more games in it that iterate on the one before than Pokemon. I think that's
Mario?
Mario's just running and jumping. There are very few mechanics.
But now he's a cat.
Now he's a cat, and that's somehow not... Well, I guess the climbing is different from, like, in 3, there's two suits that basically do exactly the same thing. Raccoon and Tanuki, except for the turning into the statue. But, like, yeah, it's all still just running and jumping. And I'm sure Pokemon has more games in it than Mario.
But Mario also plays golf and goes kart racing.
Those do not count. Mario sports games, you can throw those all in the garbage.
Now that's a hot take.
And yes, that includes kart. I would rather play Mario Party than Mario Kart.
I also hate Mario Kart, so I hate it.
No, I hate Mario Party.
My friend wanted to fucking play Mario Kart nonstop, and I'm like, I hate this fucking game.
It's not, I don't get it. It's not fun. Every time a new Mario Party comes out, my friend's girlfriend buys them. And we always sit down and we play Mario Party exactly one time. And then she goes, I've made a huge mistake by buying this game. And then no one ever touches it again. And the last time we did that, we played Mario Party, had a miserable time, and then started playing Mario Kart 8. And I said, I would rather be playing Mario Party. Can we start playing Mario Party again? Because this is worse. So yeah, Mario Golf, I think, is the closest thing to fun. I don't know how Mario Sports plus Golf equals fun game, but there you have it.
Well, I guess those games were all, you know, pretty well liked when they came out.
So Mario Kart, people love Mario Kart and Smash, all of that stuff.
Yeah, just, I don't like Smash, which that, I know is a other sinful.
Yeah, it is another sinful. The last time I played Smash was the one on the Wii, and we were playing, and I literally put my controller down and went and did something, and then when I came back, I had won the match. And I was like, this is not a video game. I'm never playing this again. And I never played Smash again. And I don't know if that was, like specific to the Wii version, but it turned me off of that forever. If I put my controller down, I can't win. Like, don't let me win. Like, if nothing happens, that's fine. But if I win after I put my... No, then you're not a video game anymore. Sorry, Smash.
Topic again?
What's that?
What topic were we on again?
Oh, games...
Not a topic, a bit of a
I think
here.
No, I think we're perfectly on topic with okay. with games that... It's not my pick, but I think we're still on... Brand.
Oh, my pick. I have a few.
All right. I think out of all the ones that I was thinking about, I think... Mass Effect is the one that I could complain about the most, because even wow. when I was playing Mass Effect, I had a lot of complaints about that game. Wow. So there is things about the original Mass Effect that I like. But I would like to preface this with the slight story that I was really into Fallout. My friend was really into Mass Effect, and she asked me to play Mass Effect, so I said yes. And I like the stuff that people hate in that original game where you're like walking around the station and you're just talking to everyone. That's the part of the game I like.
I love those parts.
Yes. I think that's the best part of the game. That part's really well written. You know, I honestly could do a whole game where you're not fighting anything, but the whole battle system in that game is kind of janky. There are definitely points in that game where as you move forward in the plot, if you can't beat a battle, you're just stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just got to keep trying until you get lucky. And so that was one of my big complaints when I was talking to my friend, because in Fallout 3 or New Vegas, you know, if you go somewhere that's too hard, you could either go somewhere else or generally outsmart whatever's going on. Because I've done that several times in Fallout games.
Mm-hmm.
There's not really that option in the original Mass Effect. And then that fucking planet cart thing sub game with the worst vehicle ever created in a video game. Oh my God. I don't know. Like, I get that, you know, it's not meant to be easy control, but it is the future. You think they could have come up with a better vehicle to go on down the planets than one that just drives off a pile of rocks and then tumbles around. And then in the second game, they just took that out and made a really boring mini game instead. Like, no, it's fine. The concept was fine. The execution was terrible. You just needed to fix the execution of that. So yeah, and the last battle of Mass Effect, also another one where, you just gotta be really fucking lucky and hope you're good enough to win. Yeah. So Mass Effect is definitely, my choice. Like, again, I love the writing in that game, and I like the part where you're talking to everyone, but pretty much all the talk tree mechanics, all the regular video game mechanics in that game kind of suck.
Okay. That's fair. I like the Mako parts of the first Mass Effect. And I also find the planet probing thing into like relaxing.
Okay, now.
After an intense battle, I always like to just like go around and just spin the planet around, see where I can and shoot the probe, and I'm like, ah, this is nice. I don't know. I never had a problem with the Mako parts, but I know a lot of people do. But yeah, the Mass Effect, for the most part, people liked up until the ending of 3, which I also didn't really have a problem with.
I never got to 3, so, and then everyone had such issues with it that I was just like, meh.
Yeah. 3 is a very good game, but the ending people had a problem with because, you know, it took away all your choices.
Okay.
But I feel like that's sort of life. Sometimes something happens and, you know, no matter what you do, your outcome is going to be bad for you.
I mean, I agree. I think it's just frustrating on a game that is built on having so many choices. That's frustrating. Yeah. Also, my friend was working in the industry at that point, and it sounded like two of the head writing devs just decided to scrap whatever was there and then come up with their own ending. And that was
okay. I was also Mass Effect 3 came out after Dragon Age 2, and after the absolute shit show of the endings of each of the three chapters of Dragon Age 2, where
killed their big series themselves, didn't they?
It did the thing where not only did your choices not matter in Dragon Age 2, but even if you were working for the exact opposite goal, something would happen
to
pigeonhole you into that one ending of the chapter. So I was like, I guess I was just like numb to it by the time Mass Effect 3 came out, because I was like, I guess this is just what BioWare does. They just make your ending be the ending that they need it to be. So yeah. So I didn't like the ending of Mass Effect 3, but I didn't mind it as much as a lot of people did. But you should play Mass Effect 3, because if you go in with those expectations, it's still a fantastic game. And it also looks gorgeous. It's like one of the best looking games from that generation, I think. Okay.
It was a very good looking game.
Yeah, they're I mean, even one which is pretty ugly.
Yeah, kind of janky.
Yeah, it still
some
looks
cool stuff going on though.
Yeah. And the fact that your Shepard carries throughout all three of the games is very, very cool. I played that on like just normal difficulty, and I didn't think it was did all the side stuff, so I may have been,
and the kind of person who does everything in a game, I don't know. It wasn't the whole game. There were just certain points in that game where like there's a huge difficulty spike, and then suddenly like, you know, it's impossible to continue on the story.
Yeah, you and I have almost completely opposite versions of what we're good at and not good at. The stuff that you can get yourself through and go, oh, that wasn't too bad, is stuff that I have quit out of because I have rage quit because I felt like I couldn't do it. And it sounds like, you know, probably the shooting mechanics. Like, I don't play a ton of shooters, but I'm pretty good at them when I do play them. So maybe that was the difference, but all that aside,
I would definitely say, especially let's say when I played Fallout 3 for the first time, the VAT system definitely helped. But by the time I was playing New Vegas, I didn't really need it.
Yeah,
there's just a lot of like sneaky ways in Fallout games for you to, you know, rectify the situation. one of my favorite stories in Fallout 3 was, like, at one point you're in a museum and, like, a bunch of super mutants come in through a door. Mm-hmm. And the first time that happened, I got absolutely just smashed into the ground. And I was mm-hmm. like, wait, I have saved every single mine lunchbox or whatever type of explosive since uh-huh. the beginning of the game. I just dropped them all into the doorway uh-huh. and went back behind that the little wall that they want you to hide behind. And then the super mutants came in, and then my computer started going real slowly. Uh-huh. And it went like that for about 5 minutes, and I thought it was going to crash. But finally it happened, and then all the super mutants were dead.
They were just dead.
Yeah, I didn't play that game.
Oh, it's really good.
Fallout's definitely not a CJ-type game at all.
Fallout 3 and New Vegas, and even 4 I liked a lot.
Uh-oh. My cat's stupid. Okay.
I never finished 4, but I definitely really liked the giant crab fight. That was really cool.
Yeah. I finished 4 and all of the DLC. I'm also one of those weirdos that sets it to third person to play.
Okay.
Fallout and Elder Scrolls games.
Fair enough.
I don't know if that helps or hurts. It's just I like to look at my character when I'm playing a game.
Well, it's like, did you watch 1917?
No.
So the whole concept of that is it's supposed to look like it's one single shot, but a lot of it is third quarter over the shoulder of the main characters. And when I was watching it in the movie theater, all I could think of is like, feels like I should have a controller in my hand because that's what it felt like watching that movie.
Okay. Okay. I don't know exactly what happened to CJ.
But I'm here.
Oh, okay. All right.
I didn't play Mass Effect, so I didn't really have anything to add.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, those are not CJ games.
Okay. Well, quickly, because I have to leave in 10 minutes. Mine is The Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past. I tried to think of something else. And I actually, these are the two that I played most recently. I did play the original NES Metroid, which is very hard to go back to. Like Super Metroid Forward, that series is perfection. The first Metroid, the NES Metroid, I still remembered how to play, so I didn't have too big of a problem with it. But there is so much stuff in that game that makes it almost impossible to go back to. Unless you played it 15 times, you're going to have a bad time going back to that. But I couldn't say that one because I have no objectivity towards that series. I think it's perfect and beautiful, and all of those games are my children. On the other hand, I fall off of almost every Legend of Zelda game that I play. I play all of them, hoping that one will stick out to me. And I've beaten 3 Zelda games so far. I beat Breath of the Wild. I don't think it's great, but I did beat it. And then Majora's Mask, which I think is the only legitimately good Zelda game. And then Wind Waker, which is boring, but has a lot of good ideas in it. So I appreciate that about it. But I went back because I was watching, I don't know if you guys know Griffin McElroy, from My Brother and Me, or The Adventure Zone, or Monster Factory, or...
Okay, I, like, at least have some idea of who you're talking about.
Yeah, he did a stream where he played Link to the Past?
Mm-hmm.
But it was a mod where he was Guy Fieri. that has nothing to do with it. But everybody was talking about, like, even he was talking about how this was his favorite game of all time. And people in the chat were like, oh, I love Link to the Past. It's one of the greatest games. And, you know, it's this and that. And I'm like, all right, maybe I'll try Link to the Past again. People talk about how hard and obtuse the Dark Souls games are. For someone who didn't grow up on the Legend of Zelda games, it is harder and more obtuse than any Dark Souls thing I've ever played. Like, Dark Souls games, even when I was starting out, I still understood what was going on, what I had to do, and I could learn, you know, the patterns of the enemies and beat them. But this thing, it feels like some of the stuff in some of the dungeons was like, how could a human figure this out with their regular brain without like a guide, without internet help? And I don't mind getting internet help, but like,
how did you do that in the dial-up era when the game came out?
I didn't.
You got your friend and you got a magazine.
Yeah, you got the magazine. Like, that's how I beat Simon's Quest the first time. But yeah, that was the only way you could do it. And I just, even with help, it just wasn't fun. Like, like in Dark Souls and stuff, you know, you die a lot. But I almost never feel like, oh, that death was cheap. That was the game cheating. It's always like, oh, that death was my fault. But when I was playing Link to the Past, I was like, there is no way that that should have killed me. And I thought that all the time. Like, so many times I died and I'm like, that was the game. Like, it couldn't have been. But again, people who grew up on it have a different opinion of it, and that's fine. But to go back to it now and try to play it now for the first time, it's just not.
I think it's definitely one of those things when you play something in your childhood, mm-hmm. and you have that childhood amount of time to just mm-hmm. figure crap out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I figured out, like, I played Full Throttle and Day of the Tentacle, and I figured those out myself because I had all the time in the world. Like, I got super good at the original Contra. I can still beat that with the three lives that they give you in the beginning because I had all the time in the world to.
That was like when we talked about Myst. Like, when I went back to play Myst, I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just spent forever playing it. I didn't own that many games.
Yep. Yep.
You know?
And Zelda just wasn't that for me when I was a kid. I was a Metroid kid. And I still do, like, Mass Effect. One of the things that I like about it is just that it's set in space. I love something set in space. That's where I like my movies to take place. That's where I like my comic books to take place. That's where I like my video games to take place. So yeah, like the fantasy setting of Zelda never got me. And even though I like that stuff more now, going back to those old Zelda games is miserable if you've never played it before. And I'm sorry, but it just is that way.
I definitely won't agree.
Someone made a sci-fi Zelda clone yet?
I'm sure one exists. I just can't think of.
Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion is kind of sci-fi-ish towards the end.
They play a turnip, though. Do they have turnips in space?
No, it's not set in space, but it is science fiction-y. It's science fiction-y. I'm not going to spoil it because I know Brad is going to play it, but...
I mean, I already... this, I'm getting Beyond Good and Evil, which I guess sort of fits in that Zelda-esque...
Yeah, I could say that.
Beyond Good and Evil is a good... That's a good one. Because that one's science fiction-y and also 3D Zelda-ish more than...
Yeah, that works, actually.
Yeah, I like that one. And I love Beyond Good and Evil. I think that's a wonderful game. Yeah. And I hope that the new one comes out. I don't expect the new one to come out, but I hope the new one comes out because what they showed looks awesome.
That would be nice to have it exist.
It really would. And even if it's bad, I'm still going to buy it and I'm still going to play it and I'm still going to beat it. And maybe we'll be talking about it as the terrible game when we do a terrible game. We don't have time for a terrible game now because I have to leave in 2 minutes.
Oh, all right.
So we are going to get to our plugs. And I'm going to go. Uh-oh. Something crazy is about to happen.
Maybe. There we go.
Is something crazy? Did you just come on to plug?
I had breakfast and I spilled pancakes on myself.
They were
They were pre-syruped.
Oh boy.
Did I catch you guys at a bad time?
No, we were just about to start plugging our stuff because I have to go to work.
Cool. Yeah.
So what do you have to plug?
go to this well-known website, facebook.com. Get yourself an account. I'm just chiming in. I just wanted to listen to the show, but I didn't.
Well,
have anything to plug.
Well, you're here for plugs. I'm gonna plug Jack Billings Presents Haunted Apartment Complex. It is the craziest show you'll ever hear. Where we are getting to the point where we're about to we just defeated Herb Robb, who is Jack Billings' father. And we're about to tear off the 72 people that are stitched to him to turn him back into a human. So that happened. And if that sounds interesting to you and you want to hear my voice.
And this voice.
And this voice.
And this voice.
You can listen to that show. And also, if you want to hear Evelyn Riles's voice doing newscasts, you can hear that also on Jack Billings Presents Haunted Apartment Complex. And then I also do No Time to Binge, which is a TV podcast where we watch the first and last episodes of a show and then make up what happened in the middle. I also do PowerPoint Showdown, which is where we get an 8-slide PowerPoint presentation that we've never seen before, and we make up what we make it up like we prepared this for a certain topic that we also didn't know about. So that show is also fun. That's on Some Nobody's YouTube channel. And then we're about to announce season 2 of Generation Clash, which was a music podcast, but now will be a pop culture podcast with me and my kid talking about things from each other's generations that we like. And that's it. I'm also a voice in a sci-fi comedy scripted podcast called Starlight Phineas. And I'm also in a Star Trek comedy podcast called T'Pon's Theater on Subspace. And I will also be the main character in the new season of Choose Your Own Podventure, which is, it's like a choose your own adventure book in podcast form.
Cool.
Where you get to decide my fate and you'll probably kill me a bunch of times. So if that sounds like fun, that'll be dropping soon. Then
how many shows you got to be on, man?
I love to talk.
This man sitting here with 25 hours in a day doing podcast shows. It's incredible.
I'm doing so many podcasts.
I respect it.
So who else has something to plug? Adopt a cat.
On Twitter at Branchan.
Branchan. I also already plugged our Instagram, which is Jack Billings Presents. Which will have clips of all sorts of different stuff. Evelyn has a clip from a newscast on that very Instagram right now.
I do.
You do.
How wonderful.
Yes, it's pretty wonderful. You're a very good news anchor, announcer. What do news people do?
I got a news anchor, I guess, news anchor. Which is, it's hilarious, by the way. My dad's a news anchor.
Oh, really? Well, you should have.
I felt very typecast.
You should. I didn't know that when I cast you as that. Okay, Branchan on Twitter. CJ.
Buy Klonoa when it comes out and adopt a cat. That's all.
Okay, that's the last time I'm going to allow you to talk about Klonoa.
No, I'll be talking about it when it comes out.
He's going to quit the show.
Oh, I might have to quit. I might have to quit my own show. That would be hilarious.
Okay. Have to play Klonoa.
Mention at the end.
Okay. Yeah, that's it. I have to go to work. I've been on enough podcasts today. Now I have to actually go do my job. So we are going to, as I get Craig to leave, we are going to say our catchphrase, which is waffles, not pancakes.
I was about to say pancakes would trigger me right about now.
No pancakes, waffles. Syrup, you syrupy weirdo.